And now it's my privilege and pleasure to introduce to you today our guest speaker, and she is not a stranger to many of you. Her name is Celeste Bowers, and she has a wonderful story to tell us, a blessing that you will be enriched by. She wants to talk to us today about her daughter, Christina, who was a student here at our school a few years ago. And Christina's story is one of thanksgiving in spite of circumstances. So she also has a book that is entitled, If There's a Mailbox in Heaven, and I'm sure she's going to tell you about that. It will be available out in the courtyard after at the kiosk after Christina shares with us today. So I know you'll be blessed. So will you welcome Christina Bowers as she comes up? Thank you.
Mom, thank you for bringing me into this world. These were the words my 10-year-old daughter, Christina, said to me in the kindest voice as chemo was being pumped into her body for the very first time. She thanked me for giving her life. The irony was that she was the one who brought life into my world. It was like those words started the journey, broke down all barriers, and put everything clearly into perspective. Thanking me for life as something was entering her body, which could have very well robbed her of that same gift. I told Christina, I'm not the one that brought you into this world. It was God. She said, I know, but thanks. From that moment on, Christina's life wasn't the same. She inspired and encouraged so many people. She was so grateful for every moment God blessed her with. I was so grateful for every moment God blessed me with her. I realized in that moment, she wasn't mine. She was his child. And I was given this time with Christina as a life lesson-filled gift. My name is Celeste Bowers. The last time I stood up here is when I spoke after Christina went to heaven at the age of 10. It was right here in this sanctuary. And by the way, I insisted that the worship be by a young kids group, so they had the junior high sing for her service. Coincidence today? No way. I'm sure my daughter orchestrated this whole thing. In May 2005, Christina went to heaven. She was a fifth grader right here at Calvary. She sat in the sanctuary for chapel. She wore the uniform, and she walked these hallways. I was known as Christina's mom, a title I still cherish 8 years later. What's hard to realize is that our children, our grandchildren, they're not our own. They're all gifts from heaven. And in order to share my amazing gift, my precious and beloved Christina, I started writing a book 3 years ago called If There's a Mailbox in Heaven. I chose this title because I think we can all relate to that yearning, that aching, that we need to tell our loved ones more, even after they're gone. So I write to Christina. I send her packages as I tell her story. And then in the last chapter, other people write to Christina. People from all ages, from all walks of life. The amazing thing about this chapter is that most of the people that write did not know Christina, never even met her. They only knew of her testimony. They push to accomplish great things. They are becoming oncology doctors, pediatric oncology nurses, child life specialists, special needs teachers, tough, challenging roads. They saw what Christina did in 10 years, something most of us won't accomplish in a lifetime. They saw how Christina did not waste time, and they are not wasting time now. Life does go by so fast. It is like a vapor, as it says in the Bible. Christina teaches us this. I used to be the crazy person with the big planner. I would plan way out. I would plan my kids' high school, scholarships, college. But sometimes when we get so stressed out with that future stuff, we miss out on moments right in front of us, right here and now. And Christina showed me that. The original setting of my book took place inside of Chalk Hospital after Christina was diagnosed. But some of my friends urged me not to start my book there. They said, start it when she was really young, because her character, her personality was so revealing of the person she would become. And with their help, because it was kind of hard looking far back again, I saw for myself how God tied all things together for a beautiful purpose. Christina welcomed and embraced life right from the start at a very young age. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 98:4. Every day was captured by Christina's smile and joyful disposition. She was the friend other kids wanted to be around. Her excitement, her enthusiasm, it was contagious. She shows us how everyday simple situations can be a blessing. Christina loved meeting people, anyone and everyone. When she was little and we'd be at the park, there'd be a busload of kids pulling up. My stomach sank, wanted to get out. Christina said, no, let's stay. Look how many friends I can make. She was a loyal friend to her classmates in elementary school. And she also had that magic touch with adults. An example of that is when I would push her in the stroller down Main Street in Seal Beach. She'd hop right out, and we'd stop at every store and every restaurant so she could meet and greet her newfound friends. How many times do we go into a store or a restaurant and never even look them in the eye, the owners, the cashiers? How many times do we thank them for their services and they thank us without any sincerity, without any smile, just part of the job? We're all too busy. We just go through motions. Not Christina. She knew every owner and merchant by name. One owner of Old Town Cafe, Sue, Christina called her Auntie Sue, had a very special connection with Christina. We would go there quite often, not so much for the meal, because Christina never sat with us. She was too busy being whisked away to the kitchen, having a grand old time watching how everything was made and smiling and laughing with the staff. Everyday situations not taken for granted. Christina loved being with her family. She was a girly girl. Sure, she danced with the broomstick, put the hat on her head, used the wooden spoon to step in time from Mary Poppins. But you could also find her on a softball mound pitching or playing football with the boys at recess. She grew up with an amazing dad who could build anything and everything, and Christina was always part of the project. Her younger brother, Teddy, was her favorite partner in crime. How she loved and protected him. One project I'll always remember is when my husband, Ted, and Christina painted this huge rainbow that took up one wall in her room. I knew Christina liked rainbows, but I never really knew the significance behind that rainbow. One of her childhood friends, Emily, reveals this when she wrote her letter in the back of my book. She tells everyone that when she would come over for a play date, now they were probably 7 or 8 years old at the time, Christina would invite her in her room, and she would say, "Emily, if you believe and if you have faith, you can get through that rainbow. And on the other side is a magical place. It's a happy place. But you have to believe." So Christina pushes her desk close to the wall, and her and Emily climb up. I pass by in the hallway as they're jumping up and down, screaming, and I tell them to get down. Christina had this insight at such a young age, and later learned that that rainbow represented God's promises. At the end of Emily's letter, she said, "Christina, you had faith, you believed, you made it through. You made it through." I shared with you that Christina attended Calvary, and that's a story in itself. Christina was in fourth grade at an elementary school in Seal Beach, and our plan was that she would finish through fifth grade and then come here to Calvary with her brother Teddy. But during that fourth grade year, she said, "You know what, Mom, I'm ready now. I want to know my Savior better." Leading up to the fifth grade year coming here to Calvary is when Christina got sick. She went unconscious for 12 hours in ICU. I clenched my Bible and I pulled out inserts that had worship songs, and I sang every one of them to her over and over again. I wanted to bring her back to me. Even though she was able to go home after that, the doctors couldn't figure out what was going on. And she was able to start here at Calvary. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, I think if Christina never made it here, of course everyone would be praying for her. But her testimony would not be the same, would not be as powerful. She had to come here and put on the uniform and walk these hallways and have fellowship with her teachers and pastors, administration. And then, the day before Thanksgiving, yes, this same time of year, we got our answer why Christina was so sick. How do you tell a 10-year-old. They have cancer. Well, Christina and I made a deal. We would never say, why me? We would say, use me. Use me, Lord, for your name and your glory. I told Christina, God chose you. He didn't choose me. He didn't choose Dad. He didn't choose Teddy. He chose you for such an important job. It's easy to praise God when things are going smoothly, when everything is in order, when all the pieces fit. But a lot of times inside those walls of chalk, the doctors had no answers. Nothing seemed to fit. And everything was out of order. It was in those moments I would whisper to Christina, trust in him. Trust in him. Doctors look to their medical books for answers. We look to the book of life. I would like to share a poem, one of the poems that's in my book about these feelings. It's called My Life is Like a Puzzle. My life is like a puzzle, many pieces fallen out. What once almost a picture is blurred and scattered about. Pieces that seem to fit have all gone askew, twisted, torn, upside down, except a selected few. Where do I turn? No cover to guide. Where do I start again? Corner or side? Or do I just trust in you, the center of my life and heart? Your word being a thread that unites each missing part. Grounded in you, I grasp new pieces along the way. Even if they don't fit now, they hold great value someday. And in that moment when I see you, the picture is complete. Nothing missing in my life, just joy. Eternally sweet. God bless Christina with amazing journeys inside and outside the walls of chalk. Within the walls of that hospital, doctors, nurses, therapists, they were all touched by Christina, and Christina was touched by them. But how does a kid who loves joyful noise, deal with being in the hospital? Karaoke. Hours of it. Christina brought down the house in that playroom, did not want to leave for surgery, did not want to leave for those tests. But when it was time, her brother Teddy would hop onto the front of the gurney and pretend to steer his sister to where she needed to go. We made Teddy a part of everything. As parents, we needed to bring light into that darkness. We also bent a couple of hospital rules, especially number of guests. 40. 40 Calvary High School soccer players came to see Christina. I opened the door. They came in, they all scrubbed, and marched right into Christina's room. It was wonderful. Christina's main sport was softball, but she also played soccer. She put on her soccer jersey, made cookies for the girls, and had such a wonderful time of fellowship with them. Mrs. Krikorian, who was the soccer coach and a sixth grade teacher here at MCA, wanted the girls to dedicate that season to Christina. Christina told Mrs. Krikorian she would play soccer for her someday. It was a glorious day in that ICU room, standing room only. Christina rarely was well enough to go home in between treatments, and she was so blessed by so many wonderful people coming to see her, even famous people. Christy Ring, who came here to Calvary and played softball, won CIF and then later went on to Alabama and won with them. She is the only athlete here at Calvary to have her uniform retired in the gym. Christy passed on her CIF ring to Christina. Lovie Jung, Olympic gold medalist softball player, also came to see Christina. She gave her glove, a signed ball, and let her touch the gold medal. But the real gold Christina found was when her friends came to visit. No matter how sick she was, she made sure they were okay, that they had something to eat and drink. When nurses came in, or any hospital staff, she made them feel at home. One amazing blessing inside CHOQ had to do with a webcast. Christina missed coming here. She missed going to school. How often do we complain when we have to get up early to take our kids or our grandkids to school? And then, when that routine is taken away, we'd give anything to get it back. We often take for granted those everyday gifts. In January of 2005, a reporter from the LA Times approached me and asked me if Christina would like to be part of a project that connected her hospital room with her classroom here. Unfortunately, Christina was really sick that week, and I couldn't really commit to that type of project. So the reporter kindly told me that he'd have to go invite another family. So he proceeded down the hallways, knocking on doors. But all of those kids went to public school, and they couldn't get permission to be on the internet. So later that week, the reporter came back to us, and Christina was feeling a little better. And I said, let's do it. Let's go for it. Jay Henry, who was principal at the time, made it all possible. It was a big deal to get everything connected here. One camera was set up in the classroom, another camera in Christina's room at the hospital. What an exciting day. Christina got to go to school again. In the background, my husband Ted and I, not only did we bend rules, we kind of fiddled with equipment sometime. We were pushing the oxygen so it would go towards Christina because we didn't want that ugly mask on her when she got to visit with her friends. So while we were doing that, Christina was actually holding up signs. The chemo gave her such terrible mouth sores that she wasn't able to speak. So Megan, her favorite person from Child Life, made signs, and they said, I miss you and I love you. So Christina held those proudly. Then, with a flick of a switch, inside the classroom, the camera was turned on, and all the fifth graders stampeded to this tiny little lens, and all you could see were their noses. It was awesome. They all got to talk to Christina. They all got to say something. And then in the middle of all these big fifth graders comes a little second grader, and he pushes his way through. And who is it but my son, Teddy? And he gets to talk to his sister. The next day, the article comes out, And there's this beautiful picture of Christina on one side and Teddy on the other. The photographer didn't know who Teddy was, but God knew. God knew how priceless that photo would be to me and my family for years to come. When Christina did get a chance to go home, God blessed her with more opportunities. One of the most beautiful ones was at Calvary High School girls' soccer banquet. It was March 2005. Mrs. Krikorian, I called her Christina's sixth grade teacher of hope because Christina knew she would get her the following year. The plan, as I mentioned before, was Christina would play for Mrs. Krikorian when she got to high school. Mrs. Krikorian wanted to give out an award in Christina's name to the athlete who showed the most perseverance and the most courage that season. It would be to be given out every year, and Christina would give out the first. We didn't know where Christina would be in her treatments by March, but we just kept praying, and we knew God would lead the way. The banquet was on Friday night, March 11th. Christina was very sick in the hospital, not showing any signs of being able to go home. Every classroom prayed here. Miss Jackie's first grade class set a timer, and those sweet kids prayed every 15 minutes. Something significant happened the day before, that Thursday. Without me knowing this, because I was in the hospital with Christina, Pastor Joey Baran led a chapel with all the students right here. And they prayed that something amazing would happen by 12 o'clock that Thursday. And I remember 12 o'clock that Thursday because Christina was due for some medicine. And at 12 o'clock, one of the doctors walked in and he said, Mrs. Bowers, Christina is not ready to go home, but we trust that you know how to take care of her. And we know how important this banquet is. And we're letting her go home. What an amazing God to once again give Christina this strength. On Friday morning, Christina woke up very weak and not feeling well. So once again, I called on people here and everywhere to pray. And by 3 o'clock that day, Christina was feeling so good that she was taking messages for me as I frantically combed the stores to find a suit for my 7-year-old son. She was so excited to get ready for that evening. We were able to shop for a new dress and a hat weeks before the banquet. Again, sometimes we take for granted these little things we get to do, like shopping. Christina loved to shop, and it was an experience, it was an outing. Because as soon as we hit that store, whatever music was being playing, she was bebopping, she was dancing, she was prancing, we were there. And not only in the area where we were looking at clothes, the music carried on to the dressing room. Our whole family, along with Mrs. Watson, Christina's fifth grade teacher, drove to the banquet at Miles Square Park. I remember standing in the far corner in the back of that banquet room, looking out at probably about 200 people. And I was holding Christina's hand tightly. And when we got the signal, Christina pushed my hand aside. She knew that she had to walk up there on her own, no matter how weak she felt. With a white blood cell count of 0, and a heart filled with joy. Christina carried her cross from the back of that room to the front, came up to a podium and a microphone like this, smiled brightly, and she said, "I'm Christina Bowers. Thank you so much for letting me be here tonight. This award, it's not about me. It's about Christ working through me." Those words still ring loud today. It's not about me. It's about Christ working through me. It was not about cancer. It was not about Christina. It was about Christina allowing our Lord to work through her, to bring others closer to him, for his name, for his glory. There were more moments surrounding that special night, and they didn't take place inside that room. They took place in the lobby. You see, Christina didn't want to leave. So she found this nice, comfy chair in the lobby, and she sat down. And one by one, the girls realized that Christina didn't leave yet. So one by one, they kind of ditched the ceremony and came and gathered around this chair. And there's an awesome picture in my book of this. And they had fellowship with her, and they laughed, and they got to know her, and she got to know them. They became teammates, friends, sisters in Christ. And while all of this was happening on one side of the lobby, my 7-year-old son was rolling on the carpet, entertaining himself on the other side. It was perfect. There were so many lives changed that night. And as we drove away, Teddy stuck his little head out of our sunroof, screamed with joy. He was so proud of his big sister and embraced all the joy of that banquet night. God blesses us with different skills and different talents. But what happens in that moment when everything we have ever known is stripped away? What do we do in any game or competition when we can't score any more runs, when we can't shut down the opponent? Will we still play for the ultimate coach, Jesus Christ? You know, people constantly talk, "My kid plays on gold level, my kid plays on silver level." How about playing on his level? Christina did. I had been her coach when she played softball. And it was like after her diagnosis, she was telling me, "Mom, the game's not on the field anymore. It's over here now. This is the one. This is the critical one. This is the crucial one. The game of life." On May 28th, 2005, when we thought it was time for Christina to go to heaven, I placed a softball in her pitching hand. She couldn't talk because she had been on a ventilator for the last weeks of her life, but I know she could hear me. There was such a lump in my throat, and I leaned in and I said, "Christina, you've won. You've won." But she wasn't ready. She had one more inning to shut down the opponent, bases loaded, nobody out. People across the country prayed. One more time, God used Christina to bring others closer to him. And then, on May 29th, 2005, Christina won. Not a medal, not a trophy, but the championship game of life. True, eternal victory with our Lord. People still ask me, how do you do it? How do you keep your faith after witnessing the pain and suffering of your child? First, I remind them that our children are not ours. We are all children of God, and He's in control. Children are beautiful gifts that we get for a season. Then I share this other fact. How could I watch my daughter carry her cross at the age of 10 and not carry mine now? It's my turn. It's my turn. And God knows what I need better than I do. He sends me gifts, personal nuggets, revealing His promise of heaven through people, through circumstances. Personally, I think Christina taps him on the shoulder and says, God, she needs something right now. And I'm telling you, around that next corner, there's a child running to me with arms open wide. Or there's a phone call that somebody just had a dream about Christina. It happens over and over again. I am the most blessed person in the world. I'm also blessed to be given this opportunity today to share my daughter's testimony with all of you. I'll be outside at the kiosk with my book if you would like to pick up a copy. You can read about Christina's testimony. Such a strong tie here at Calvary. You can read about the teachers, the pastors, church members who donated blood and platelets. So many people coming beside her. This book is written for people of all ages. It is written to inspire and encourage. You can read more about my loving husband, who juggled running a company and taking care of his sweet daughter. You can read more about my son, Teddy, who I call my unsung hero, who now, as a sophomore in high school, carries on, drawing closer to his Savior, where Christina left off. My book is available today. It's also in the chapel store. If you'd rather purchase online on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, it's also available there. I would love to be able to even say good morning to you and have fellowship with you. And by the way, Christina isn't done working. I give her time off and she says no. But of course, my prayer is that her voice will always be heard. In the back of my book, I invite others to write to Christina. There's an email address for that, so it can continue. To this very day, God continues to use Christina mightily. Recently, God allowed me to reconnect with high school classmates from more than 30 years ago. I went to high school in New Jersey, in case you couldn't tell and thought I talk funny. And through Facebook, I was able to contact many of my friends. One of my classmates, Connie, lives in New Jersey and battles with lupus. Connie has been enduring a tremendous amount of pain. Almost all of her family members have passed away. She's been lost and trapped in a dark, lonely place. But through God using Christina, Connie has become a follower of Christ again. She has been awakened out of that dark place and walks in Jesus' light. She's urging me to write another book, this time not what I'm sending to Christina, but everything that Christina is sending to us. After she read my book, Connie writes this. Christina never said, "Why me?" when she was sick. Instead, She accepted God's plan with open arms. She asked God to use her in his plan. God chose Christina to be a sign of hope, love, and faith, a sign which would bring people back to God's plan, a guiding light to those of us who are lost in darkness. Christina's compassion and dedication to God touched everyone who knew her. But with divine intervention, Christina has touched the hearts and souls of those of us who didn't meet her in person. Instead, we met her in spirit. Thank you, Christina, for being my guiding light. I'd like to leave you with this thought during this Thanksgiving season. As parents, as grandparents, we often take on the role of teacher, and we constantly tell our kids to say thank you for everything. But when was the last time we thanked them for their unconditional love, their innocent kindness, and for what they teach us? So if there's a mailbox in heaven, the message I send today is thank you, Christina. Thank you. And thank you to all of you. May God bless you in this moment and always.